A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Game Day podcasts from TalkSport. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Game Day, the appendix.
Yeah, welcome along everybody to the Game Day Record Book podcast appendix. So much stuff was shoveled into the original show that we have got a whole lot of stuff that's been left out. And by stuff, I mean quality gear, sort of stuff you'd get in Wolfstone Market if you really went down there. And Tom Rennie is with me, and so is Matt Lawrence. So Matt Lawrence, former Crystal Palace captain, and FA Cup. He likes to remember that he was the FA Cup losing captain for Millwall.
I don't really like him, but you can.
And we're not mentioned as well. You haven't seen him for a long time. And don't his teeth look fantastic?
Yeah.
I always think of you as being full gums, but now I always think of you as the henchman from two Bond films.
Pure titanium.
And of course, the star of Happy Gilmore as well.
We did all this on the main podcast, didn't we? Oh, you've got glasses.
Oh,
you're middle class,
teeth.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Look at those shiny, lovely teeth. Were you in Octopussy? Oh, lovely they are.
See, you've got your own trousers, but a pair. Not one trouser, not good enough for you. Matt, we'll have to stand back a little bit here because Tom Rennie, who I should tell you is, of course, and he said trans-platform, multi-platform broadcaster and pundit across the Atlantic as well. You're going to lead the charge because you've made a huge pile.
I love this show. I love coming on it. Yeah. Every time I do, the appendix is my favourite bit.
Yeah,
we always make
too.
It like 10 minutes. I'd happily do a 45-minute appendix with a few results for a different podcast. Anyway, loads of stuff for you today. First thing I want to start with is that I was doing the commentary of Newcastle Wolverhampton Wanderers early on Sunday. And I was, before the game, chatting to a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan. He said, you know, we're in the green kit today, didn't you? I was like, oh, right, OK. Didn't realise they had a green kit. They have a history of wearing green, Wolves, do they? Is that
and
something
I wondered
they do?
Why a team were wearing black and white stripes, so it needed to be old gold wouldn't do for the
There's no reason. And they won this game last year in the old gold, so there's no reason to change it. And he told me this. Now, I've not verified it because it's the appendix and I don't get paid enough to do so, but I've taken it as true because he told me and he's a Wolves fan.
Right.
They have got a green kit this year with red trim down the sleeves because they want to sell those shirts in the Mexican market where Raul Jimenez is a star.
Wow.
Tom, it is exact. And I did do
it's
some
a replica.
Research. I don't get paid enough, but I did look.
You're
and
a pro,
it is,
though.
It is exactly, pretty much exactly the same, taking the badge off.
Can I ask you both a question? You're both in and around football, and football geniuses, otherwise you wouldn't be on here. All these massive efforts, Liverpool's court cases, Wolves replicating Mexican.
Yep.
Do you think it makes a damn bit of difference to how many shirts you sell around the world? And if it does, how many of those shirts do you think are snide? I think this is so much effort goes into selling shirts that I think it's a load of nonsense.
I have got a stat about this. The kit that the recent company that got sacked off from being the Liverpool developer, they sold a record amount of shirts, over 2 million of that Liverpool shirt. That's why they were so desperate to keep that contract. And I also had a chat a few months ago with the social media manager at West Ham at a game, and he told me that when they signed Chicharito Hernandez, I just called him Chicharito, I'm sorry about that. When they signed Javier Hernandez, because he said it when he was talking to me, they basically built a Spanish website in order to deal with the sheer volume of people getting in touch from Mexico. And every time he didn't start, which was every time, the West Ham Twitter page was just filled with people in Spanish saying, where is Hernandez? Why is Hernandez not playing? What's happened to the little
pig? Donde es
Hernandez? Oh, that was good. Oh, I was going to do it in French, now pull back, because it was obviously
not
the right
Spanish
language.
I've done it
much
Spanish,
better.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I do think it doesn't make a difference.
It definitely makes a difference. It's why Manchester United, it's why Tottenham, it's why Liverpool have been searching for Indian players or players from the Asian market over the years. The Korean players who have come in. Some of them, granted, of those players have been good enough, but an awful lot of them have been for that market. And
the irony one day of people in India getting paid 4 pence an hour to make shirts with Indian names on the back of them being sold for 70 quid a pop. I'll leave for all of the rest of you to imagine. Oh, a little bit of politics there, Dan. Well done. What else you got?
What else have I got? Well, I wanted to mention this one about Jesse Lingard. I'm sure we're all wearing various items from the
Jay Ling brand. Oh, this is another clothing story, yeah?
Yeah, I'm very much the fashion reporter of
this show.
What
was that thing you did with your hands?
This is what he does, the Jay Ling symbol.
Is it
that? No, it's that, isn't it? Where it's like a JL. There we go.
Originally, you did some kind of fluttering dove thing.
I did the Granit Xhaka Albania thing. That's the wrong thing. That was the whole wrong message.
And now FIFA are on our ass.
And now we're in trouble. Now we're all sacked. But he does this kind of thing where he puts his two hands together and he puts his thumbs out and his fingers up and it's meant to be a JL.
Right.
Well, Jay Ling's is his fashion brand. When its first year of trading, the kids don't do that anymore. They've all moved on.
Yes, that's quite why I said it.
You know what you do. Documents lodged at company's house show that Jay Ling's, in a period of just over 12 months up until January 31st this year, made a loss of £211,000 or 2 weeks' wages.
To me, that doesn't seem, for a new business, that doesn't seem like a big loss. You've got to speculate to accumulate.
Has anyone ever bought a Jay Ling's? I mean, does anyone know anyone out there who's bought a Jay
now,
Ling's?
Matt, you're
get in
pretty
touch
well
with Danny
turned
on Twitter.
I'm relatively well turned out, but I didn't even know Jay Ling's was a thing. I will ask my children when I leave. And,
one thing
and
he could do,
out.
I was thinking, to boost business is to go to his more successful teammates at Man United or England and get them to do a range for him. And I was thinking this during the game between Liverpool and Tottenham. Jay Hens would be a fantastic sub-range for the brand. What would they sell? It's obvious, isn't it? It's a rubbish knitted jumper with one of those collars sewn in, so you haven't got to buy both shirt and jumper, but you can still look good for your interview at Dixon's.
Sorry, I thought I had never heard of Jesse Lingard's clothing range, but now it's all coming back to me. Wasn't Roy Keane so pleased with the news that he said, if this was a good, strong dressing room, this wouldn't be tolerated? Now, he's not talking about fascism or he's not talking about domestic violence. He's talking about putting out a few tracksuits with your name on them. This would not be tolerated.
Yeah, but to be fair, Roy Keane should probably have been arrested for his assault on Alfie Inga Harland and didn't go to prison for it, so I don't really listen to
and
what he has to say.
And the accompanying language, if you read the book.
And he just seems proud of it in the book from what I read of it. So I've no time for Roy Keane now or ever.
Does he know this?
I'm not sure he cares and neither do I.
If
he comes in here, I will change my opinion immediately, as I will of Nigel Rio-Coker.
I'll tell you how hard Roy Keane thinks he is. Well, first of all, let's get it right. He is very hard.
Yeah, I'm sure
he was
is,
also
yeah.
a tremendously successful amateur boxer before he was a footballer. I was talking once to somebody, Tony Cascarino, off on an island trip. The game had been played. They're out on the pop that night. This is when Roy was still on the beer, yes? And they go to a nightclub in Dublin. And Tony Cascarino's job is to look after Roy Keane. That's essentially his job in the squad, as well as pretending to be Irish, because he's got that going on as well. And they get to a very famous nightclub in the middle of Dublin, and Cascarino disappears from the bar where Roy is drinking for about 3 or 4 minutes and comes back and says, "Where have you been?" So Cascarino says, "Oh, I've just been over there talking to Steve Collins." Now, Steve Collins, of course, is then the middleweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
And Roy says, Roy pulls up his sleeves, goes, "I want to talk to that fella." He's going off to fight Steve Collins.
Oh,
he genuinely thinks he can mess with middleweight boxing champion of the world, Collins. So I suspect you don't present much of a target.
I'm sure he's not concerned
Roy.
About me. No. I've been at the gym for 3 months. It's absolutely fine.
It shows.
He is not. I'm very busy. He's not worried about me. I'm not worried about him. But also, if you're listening, Roy, it was just a joke. Please don't hurt me.
What about Ron Robbenzela?
Oh, this is so good. If you've got time for any video this weekend, this might be the one. So Ron Robbenzela is currently playing in goal for Hannover in the second tier of Bundesliga 2. They're facing Karlsruhe this weekend. I'm sure it's a game that everyone was well across. In the 95th minute of this game, Daniel Gordon dramatically equalises for Karlsruhe. The ball hits the back of the net, and it's a taut net, so the ball bounces back onto the field of
which
play.
Which is always a lovely thing to see, by
it
the way.
It's a wonderful
image.
We
don't see enough of it now, do you?
Now, Zila wants to stop them from getting the ball, running back and restarting, as always is the case with goalkeepers. But instead of trying to grab the ball and then being that kind of embarrassing little melee of players in the net, he takes his right fist, he balls it up, and he rolls it around to punch this ball out, David James style. Unfortunately, a player from Karlsruhe grabs the ball first. It's Gordon, actually, who does it, the goal scorer, grabs it, and he starts running away with the ball in his chest, but Zieler's already started the swing. He's Steve Collins running at Roy Keane back in 1992. He's ready to hit him, and so he swings the arm. He doesn't catch one ball. He catches two, and then he gets sent off for it.
And the other fella's Carl's ruined. Listen, I've been given a note here about something that happened in European football. It makes no sense at all, but I'm going to read it in all good faith. You'll remember Thiago Motta, who he was a very, very good footballer in his time, and he was eventually PSG in Paris's D. He was their under-19 coach, where he unleashed an extraordinary formation, 2-7-2, which included the goalkeeper becoming some kind of auxiliary outfield player. More recently, he got a job in grown-up football. He'd become the manager of Genoa. Within a week, he had launched their 2-7-2 formation. I totally get this. I watch football for a long time.
There's no room for seven, is
there? Tom, everything I've seen about professional football over the past 50 years has been leading to one thing. Flood the midfield. Get everybody... Pep Guardiola, he has been waiting to play two midfielders at centre-back. He genuinely believes, and I'm not doing one of my joke things here, that centre-backs are a waste on a football pitch. We've seen him play Mascherano there. We've seen him play Martinez at Bayern Munich. His idea is if you hold the ball well enough, you don't need defenders. And if you chase back well enough, if you've lost it, you don't need defenders. I'm looking at a former centre-back. I'm right about this.
Yeah, it's when you lose possession of the ball, if you press high enough up the field and you win it back quick enough, you don't need to defend. And he genuinely does believe this.
Yes,
he's got John Stones on the bench. He's got Eric Garcia on the bench.
He wants to get them out of the game, and so does our friend Thiago Motta. So he goes to Genoa, and he puts on his 2-7-2. They're losing 1-0 after an hour in his first game. I think it's his first game. He then, though, brings on three substitutes. And because he's a footballing genius, Thiago Motta, all three of them score in a victory for Genoa, including his old friend Goran Pandev, who I think was in the same... Well, they were in Inter, but they were in, they were in Jose Mourinho's Inter team that won the Champions League. That's a lovely story. And of course he's going to get sacked playing 2-7-2 because we're not ready for it yet. But it's quite a race between him and Pep Guardiola. Who can play 1-8-1 first?
Straight after the game, he just has to leave. Just 1-8-1's
only playing with 10 players there.
I was chatting fairly recently to Anna McLaughlin, another former Republic of Ireland international, and he's working in the youth team at Swindon. And he does this thing, right? And he said it blows people's minds. When the opposition get a free kick on the edge of the penalty area, he doesn't do a wall. He tells his team not to do a wall because then there's nothing to hit it over. And then whoever has the shot, the goalkeeper can just watch it the entire way through.
I've often wondered about this. If I give you a ball, Matt, you're a still fit professional, ex-professional footballer.
He couldn't take a free kick then, though.
22 yards out. Let's say 4 yards outside the edge of the penalty area and no wall. How many times do you beat a professional goalkeeper?
22 yards out, it would be probably two or three times.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. I think you're giving yourself a lot of side there, if you don't mind me saying.
No, I think a wall, I think it's the size of the wall, definitely. I get that the goalkeeper's got a full view of it, but the way players hit the ball nowadays, some players do, but also the modern day ball as well. From if you're doing it from the edge of the box, it's obviously 18.5 yards. I think it helps if you've got a wall, that's for sure.
And I think we also should take into account here that if they did do away with the wall, Jeremy Corbyn and others like him will be saying, hold on, what about the industry that makes those cut out metal walls? I mean, they've got no other use, have they? And every club has loads of those footballers painted red and with a mesh, crisscross mesh. Somebody has to make them.
I've got an idea.
They're not just produced out of... They don't grow out of the ground, unlike the centre circle at Southampton. See the actual podcast. Somebody has to make them and they'd be out of work. And
Jeremy Corbyn could use them for when Labour want to abstain on a vote. And so instead of the seats being empty, they put the little walls in and you know how many people abstained.
Sometimes those walls come as individual men, then you just stick them in the ground. Sometimes there's a group of five of them, isn't it?
Quite often four or five.
We sell them to spinsters so they can use the carpool lane. That's how you do it.
Now, this has been a very enjoyable...
That was not euphemistic.
You were going elsewhere.
That was not
a
euphemism. That's just a real idea. And because, Home Alone 2.
Because this has been a very, very good appendix, I've enjoyed it hugely. I'm sure you have too. We're going to end with a piece of commentary. Unfortunately, it's not in English, but that's no problem because you're still going to hear something amazing that's happening while you think you know all about football. Here is something amazing happening. Can you play it?
から中に入れる皆川キープをして下げて中村俊輔の左足来ました。 しました。すごいの来ました。出したね。
That, my friends, is Shinji Nakamura, formerly of Celtic, way back in the mists of time, still playing in the J League and scoring that goal. Let's hear it again.
大きな展開です。北爪から中に入れる。皆川キープをして下げて中村俊輔の左足。
来ました。
Well done, Shinji! Congratulations to him. The perfect way to end this appendix. Bless you all.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.